advise new artists in the NFT space about sales strategies, like how to price and launch a new collection. So if you would like to be featured in our gallery or looking for a supportive NFT community, you're always welcome to drop us a DM or join our Discord. So I think we can all agree that today's episode is a special one because we just launched another virtual gallery space, which is, I would say, set in the middle of the ocean or metaverse ocean. I really like it because it's a very open space and it's so much easier actually to navigate through for someone who haven't played 3D shooter games. And so this new gallery is dedicated to curated exhibitions of art that has a common theme or style. And today we're going to talk about our first curated exhibition, Colors of Time, featuring four great traditional artists who transitioned to the NFT space. We have Jack Natick, Sylvie, Johannes and Olaf as Househopper, and Casper's uncle, I'll call him Master Tang. And yeah, so shall we start with Jack Natick today? So Jack Natick is a watercolor artist. She has a collection on OpenSea, Water Magic, called Water Magic, and I think all pieces are actually currently sold out. She portrays women primarily, and this particular collection, Water Magic, is set like in the 1920s, I would say. And let's hear from Jack Natick herself about her artistic journey and her creative process.
Hi, thank you so much. Hi. For that intro. So I guess the question is really around the journey and the process. So I can start a little bit with how I started to actually explore traditional art, which is when I was like either on the cusp of middle school or high school, and I took this one super intensive art class where you basically had to create all of your own tools from scratch. So rather than like, you know, a lot of people would go out and like buy a canvas if they wanted to do any kind of painting. But in this class, we had to actually like cut the wood ourselves, staple the wood together, stretch the canvas with like a raw, it was just like very archaic. But in that process, I think I really developed a sensitivity and a connection and a relationship to the actual process of making art and creating art, and started to develop like a set of techniques and tools that were really basic. It's just like very, very basic, stripped back art creation or drawing. And I think that, you know, as I discovered more mediums, as I explored different kinds of artwork, so I've done a lot of charcoal, pastels, like painting with a knife on glass or plastic, and, you know, ultimately watercolors, drawing, as you just use these very basic techniques, you sort of learn how each of them are different, how you build on top of each. And then from there, it became easier for me to start mixing the mediums together and focusing not just on the technique, but starting to focus more on the story that I was trying to tell or the emotion that I was trying to capture, and relying on different mediums or different techniques depending on what I was trying to say or what I was trying to do or to express. Does that answer the question? Or was there a second part of the question?
It was really, I was just listening to you, and it was really fascinating for me to hear how that you actually had this opportunity when you was very young to explore art from this very basic perspective, and really went back to the core with how to make like your own tools and everything. So it really, yeah, it helps to understand how you came to became the person you are today as an artist. Found it very interesting.
I would say that, like, back then, you know, obviously I was like, can I just go to like the art store and buy a canvas? Like, can I just have it already made for me? Why do I have to like suffer so much just to like paint something or draw something? But, you know, it's really interesting because in that, to talk a little bit about the transition from traditional art to now starting to blend more digital techniques. And I think what's really interesting is like when I first started using Procreate, which is, I guess now, you know, literally like 3 weeks ago, I downloaded the app and started using Procreate about 3 weeks ago. And there's so much choice in these digital mediums. There's so much choice. There's so many options. There's endless possibilities. You can undo things. You can go back. You can go forward. And I think that if I didn't have that grounding in the traditional techniques and really understanding like what gouache should look like, or what watercolor should look like, or how watercolor moves in real life across a canvas, I think it would be really difficult for me to create artwork that looks like it was actually painted physically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you. So the all pieces that you have in the collection, watermarks, they are still made in watercolor, right? So you're just transitioning right now to digital medium for future artwork, right?
Yes, exactly. And I was actually, I didn't have time before the space, so I'll probably do it either towards the end of the space or right after the space ends. I actually wanted to do a post of the artwork and then a video of the actual physical piece and like what it looks like so that you can actually see the different textures and compare between the two.
Yeah, great. So I was wondering whether you actually see this digital tool as an enhancement of your artistic creation, or do you find it like more, I don't know, limiting somehow? Because I think in digital art, it's still difficult to create something like texture, particularly, or this 3D effect.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. At first it was like very, very overwhelming. There's so many brushes in Procreate. There's like all of these layers. There's every single color choice that you can imagine, and you can buy so many things to add to the app. And so I think in some ways the amount of choice itself can be limiting, I guess from like a psychological or a mental, like having too much choice can almost paralyze you. But I think as I have moved through it, I think that there's some really interesting things that open up. So in some of the newer pieces that I've been doing, in real life, you can't really like mix mediums, you know, like from a physiological or physics perspective, it's hard to like mix watercolor and oil paint together, or paint a watercolor on top of oil, or mix in gouache or mix in charcoal or pencil. And the thing I like about these digital mediums is that it offers the ability to kind of transcend physics and start to layer. You can do things in Procreate that you couldn't do in a traditional piece. So that experimentation, and I think for me, and I think Silvio can attest to this because she's also a watercolor artist. Watercolor is a very, very unforgiving medium. It's dry, like you have like 2 seconds to correct a mistake. And so you can't really make errors. And every error shows with watercolor. And so sometimes I feel myself holding back or not taking as much risk in the traditional medium because I don't want to put so much effort into something and then have one mistake basically ruin the whole thing and then I have to start over and then it just doesn't feel the same because the actual paint is has a mind of its own. And so with some of these more these newer technologies or like these newer ways of creating art, it's easier because I feel like I can take more risk, but I'm still bringing the technique and the knowledge of how these mediums actually like behave in real life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that point. Like for me also the benefit of using digital medium is that it's much easier to correct a mistake that you made because you can just go back. While if you do something like I paint with oil, and if sometimes I have to wait until something is dry until I can paint over it, and this can sometimes takes days. And so from that perspective, digital medium is certainly helpful. But as you said before, that with all these different choices, it's sometimes also difficult because you have to make choices. But and I think it's actually also good to go back always to the basics and to practice like certain basic techniques.
Yeah, and I think a lot of I've spoken to some other artists, and sometimes I think there's, again, to go back to the thing of too much choice, there's like 3 to 4 brushes that I use in Procreate. And there's an artist I spoke to that says they only use one pencil ever. It's the only tool they use in Procreate. And sometimes I think that a lot of artists, especially artists that are new or just starting to draw for the first time because they want to express their own creativity and just connect with that part of their brain, think that their creativity isn't coming out because they don't have the right pencil or they don't have the right brush set, or they just need to buy one more brush set and then it will spark their creativity. And I think sometimes, again, that too much choice, and when everything is open to you, you almost focus less on what you're actually trying to say. Why am I drawing? Why am I painting? Why am I creating this work? What is the emotion? And I think I always start from that place, and then the tools that I use change depending on what I want to create. So with water magic, obviously all of the women have their own energy, their own personality, their own little story. And so depending on that story, it's like, okay, does this feel more like I need to bring in more texture with the tea because her energy is stronger, or do I need this to pare back, or what is her vibe? And then the art, the tools just come from that.
I can probably chat with you for another hour. It's just so interesting to hear you talk about art and the way you view art. I think we actually have like 3 different speakers today, so I think we are a bit constrained in the time frame today. So I would definitely want to hear you talk about your experience with Procreate in the future and how you actually like this new digital medium. Are there any questions from our audience to Chagnetic?
Maybe for me. It's because in the space where I bought one piece from Jack, the Lady June piece, we shed it a while and wanted to figure out how this was created. So my impression was at that point that it was done in real life. This is a watercolor image. But I had the impression that you added some details later on post-production on the computer. I think the earrings somehow look to me as you would have done them in Procreate. Is that true, or was everything on the Lady June piece made in the physical world? That was the thing why I was really trying to figure out.
No, it's like scary how on point you are with that. So with that piece, I stained the background with tea, with black tea bags, and then I drew the figure. And then I did her her feather dress. I did in a combination of chalk and oil painting, an oil paint. And then I used Prismacolor. It's like a multimedia situation. I use Prismacolor for the little rings. I think she has like these purple rings around her. And then I scanned that into my computer, transferred it to Procreate, and then did her earrings. Because with the earrings, I wasn't sure what the shape should be. And I had an idea, but I wasn't sure if it was going to be balanced or not. So Procreate, doing that piece in Procreate allowed me to be a little bit more creative and try some things. And if it didn't work, I could undo it. So her earrings are done in Procreate, and I think a few other things are done in Procreate. But
yes, I think you have also talked on one thread on Twitter that you corrected a little bit the eyes, and I'm glad that I was able to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can actually send you a message of like all the different things I tried for her eyes.
Because it would be very interesting. I love mm-hmm. these kind of videos where the where you see the progress of the art. This is also a very important part of the art to know how it was created for me, so I can have a better relationship to the piece I own.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's a really true mixed media piece, right? And you combine basically physical tools with digital medium, and this is actually really interesting.
The last time we talked about this on the space, and I'm sure you have heard the recording, but I wanted to again mention that I was really impressed how easy your stroke is in the physical world, that you were able to draw this this woman with just one try. And it was perfectly placed. So this was one of the reasons why I couldn't resist to grab it from the floor.
Thank you. That means a lot, because I imperfection is something that is really important to me as an artist. I try to, as much as I can, to not belabor the pieces and to just go with the flow, and that I think and just to try not to overthink it too much, and to just really depend on the emotion that I'm feeling. So I'm really glad that resonates with you.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much, Chagnetic. Let's move on to our second watercolor artist, Sylvie. So Sylvie has this really lovely collection called Daily Practice 2022, where She embarked on this journey to create a piece every day for the entire year, and she already made, I think there are more than 100 pieces, right? And most of them are already sold out. And yeah, let's hear Sylvie's story.
Hi, Yoon, and everybody. Hi. Thanks for the intro. Yeah, so I'm up to, I think I have over 110 items on OpenSea right now, and that doesn't include the last few days. So I have more that I'll be trying to upload and mint tomorrow. But yeah, thanks for the great intro. I decided at the end of last year that I wanted to do something a little bit more rigorous. I guess I can back up and tell people a little more about my background and how I ended up kind of starting the project. I'll keep it quick because I know I really want to hear about Casper's uncle's work and of Olaf and Johan too. But basically, I've been doing my own side hustle of my artwork for the last almost 9 years. And I've always done it kind of on the side. So I've been working as a full-time designer for a tech company for a while, and then slowly over time moved more and more to freelance work. And at the end of last year, I had left like a lot of my more corporate responsibilities, I guess you could say, and I was totally freelance, and it was great, but it's also kind of scary, and it's hard to find direction sometimes when you're so self-directed. So towards the end of last year, I was like, I want to do something big, and I want to commit myself to my art practice, and maybe I'll just try making a painting every day for the entire year and just see what ends up happening. And because I felt like I was spread really thin with my freelance projects, I had no problem kind of meeting deadlines for clients, but I would always let my personal projects slide. And so I was like, I kind of want to try putting my own stuff front and center and see what happens, and see if I can commit to myself in the same way that, you know, I commit to my clients. And so that's kind of how the project started. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's been like over, I think we're like 115 days into the year now. So it's quite the marathon, but it's been a lot of fun. And I didn't end up learning about NFTs until the end of last year. And so it all kind of was a perfect storm, because I was like thinking about doing a new big project. I wanted to explore this new medium. And it all just kind of fell into place, and that's how it came to be.
Yeah, so it's a very inspiring story. And actually wondering, do you, since you're creating like a piece every day, how do you, like, do you just get inspired on the day when you try to make this new piece, or how do you decide about the topic that you want to
paint for the day? That's a question that I get a lot, even just from my friends, because I've been posting the videos of like I post a time-lapse video of the creation of every piece on Instagram. So it's funny because I have my Instagram followers that are all like Web2 people or people I know in real life. And then on Twitter, I have a whole other audience. And I feel like there's only like 3 people that overlap it, and half of them are in this spaces. So that's been interesting. But to answer your question, it depends. I think a lot of times I'll have ideas just generally in my head, and I'll try to write down, I'm like, oh, I want to try something with like semicircles, or I want to try something with just the color orange, or I'll just have random kind of prompts for myself, and I try to remember them. And since I'm doing it every day, you know, the opportunity for me to practice with that idea comes up fairly quickly, since, you know, there's a chance every day. So it's pretty spontaneous. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, this week I want to paint all flowers, or this week I want to paint like red on Monday, orange on Tuesday, yellow on Wednesday, you know, whatever. And I just kind of do what I want, I guess. I'm trying not to, because the purpose of this also is just to practice like creativity and letting
myself feel free and kind of learning to trust my creative instincts. So I also was really resonating when Jack Nedick was talking about not belaboring the art too much and just kind of letting it come to me. And something else interesting that stuck with me about her conversation was when she was talking about how watercolor can be really unforgiving and have a mind of its own. And I think that's completely true, but I try to, which is hard for me because I'm, you know, as most creative people, I like to control the outcomes of things, but sometimes you just have to surrender to whatever the water is going to do, and it might dry in weird ways, or it might, you know, you might accidentally blur something together, but then maybe it makes like a cool looking blended color, or, you know, you get these interesting textures that come up from the mistakes. And I think sometimes in the end, if something is a little bit imperfect, either A, it ends up looking better than what you thought you wanted, or B, it can be a practice in letting go of perfectionism. So I try to turn it into a sunny side up situation, no matter what it is, because I think also for me, like, building creative confidence has always been something that's kind of hard too. So in addition to this being like a practice of painting, like practicing the skills of painting, it's also a practice of just like putting myself out there and kind of being okay with things not looking picture perfect every time, and just getting kind of building that social resilience, I guess, in a way. So yeah, it's I totally lost track of the question, but hopefully I answered it.
Yeah, totally. I think actually your work is actually picture perfect. So I was wondering whether you actually have even takeouts, like pieces that you made and where you was not so happy about, and or like,
yeah. Yeah, I definitely do that. And I always feel conflicted because sometimes I'm like, should I just like, I don't love this, but like, you know, I don't want to make it too perfect, but sometimes I'm like, I can't do it. I'm just going to start over. So, I'm not trying to say that there is still that, I guess, vain or prideful side of me that wants to make things at least presentable. But sometimes I think I can get really, really hung up on perfectionistic things. And at a certain point I have to just let it slide. So some of them, yeah, even though they look perfect, like maybe I'm not happy with them, but I still post it anyways. And to be totally transparent, sometimes I do also, like, even though my practice is totally in the physical realm, like I'm painting with watercolor on paper and everything, when I do scan it in, if there's little splotches here and there, I'll clean it up in Photoshop as well. But I never try to like alter it too much. It's just more like if there's just like a little splotch, or I just put something in the wrong place, or it just needs to be tidied up a little. I try not to make it look digital in any way, the finished product.
Yeah. For example, the burger you are using right now as a profile picture, you talked about it in the Discord, and it was really nice that you also listened to a little bit feedback for example, fixed a little bit the shadow. Yep. Because, you know, watercolor doesn't change his mind.
Yep. Yeah. And that time I was like, as I was painting it, I was like, oh, I know this is not quite right, but I'm just going to finish it. And then I can, if I really, you know, if it bothers me later, I'll just tweak it in Photoshop. So, yeah, thank you.
I can imagine that sometimes or some days it can probably also become a bit overwhelming to just keep this doing. And also like in general, like on Twitter and Discord, there's this information overload and everything. And this in this entire NFT space can be very like draining, I would say. So I was wondering how you actually cope with this whole situation in addition to the daily pieces that you create. So do you have a certain routine or...
It's a lot. That's a good question. And it's funny because as you and in the House Hop group know, like I was kind of not sure if I was going to make it this weekend because of all of those reasons. I was like, I might just need to unplug for the weekend and get outside in the sunshine. And so I think I was able to really do that yesterday. I spent a lot of time with my family and hanging out with my niece and actually drawing with her. And that was really fun. So I felt really refreshed today. And
happy to come back. But it is a lot. I don't know that I have an answer for how to stay balanced. I think it's something that is a pretty widespread feeling amongst everyone in Web3. I think it's just when you can, just checking in with yourself and being honest with yourself of like, okay, is another hour of scrolling on Twitter really going to help me advance in my goals? And like, just being honest about what are your goals and, you know, are you able to maintain those realistically without compromising your life outside of the space? And just being able to let some things go sometime and prioritize your own mental health and kind of have some level of acceptance of the FOMO that's going to happen if you do that. I think that's what I tell myself. Whether or not I'm able to stick to that is like another thing, but I think it's good to talk about it also, because even when I told I was talking to Casper a little bit about it, and he's like, oh yeah, like of course, like if you need to take a break, please do. And just having, I don't know, for some reason, just saying that to someone and having them be like, yeah, of course you can take a break, you know, like something about that process of just sharing that feeling of overwhelm with someone else is really helpful. So I think it kind of reiterates what a lot of people say, and that like your community in this space is really what's going to kind of dictate your experiences here. I think just having some buddies that you can be honest about like how you're feeling and have them respond in a empathetic way is also super helpful.
Yeah, and sometimes it helps definitely when Yoon reminds me to log off Discord.
Yeah, we're all looking out for each other, making sure we're sleeping and eating and, you know, not having 48 hours of screen time a day.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think, Sylvie, it's really admirable that you also do the behind-the-scenes videos, because just to add on the thread that you mentioned about how watercolors are so unforgiving, I'm not an artist myself, so I don't really realize the difficulties in that, but by you putting yourself out there and recording every single second of it, I think it's just really admirable.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I did that so that I would feel committed to just sharing stuff in its authentic state, you know, not like, because if I didn't show that, then maybe I would, like my hot dog would look completely different than what it does now, because I'd want to fix like the relish or the mustard or anything here or there. But because like I've shared that somewhere, I can't like completely change it. I mean, I could if I wanted to, but it's just, because the whole practice is supposed to be kind of fun and lighthearted and not too serious or perfectionistic. So I think sharing the authentic side of it helps me stick to that mission.
Yeah, and I also just wanted to say that it's really good that you bring up this mental health topic. I see it's talked a lot about in the Web3 space, and for good reason, right? Because it's so overwhelming. There's like new stuff every day to pay attention to, and so really good to get this reminder that we need to log off and need to keep in mind what are the real goals we try to achieve, and does it help to scroll another hour on Twitter?
Yeah, so. It's mostly advice for myself, but yes, for sure.
Yeah, but it's really good advice. And also, June coined this term the other day of Debo with Discord burnout.
Mm.
And we all feel it.
Yeah, I think we really have to make a conscious effort to like control our own behavior and be aware of what we're doing, because otherwise just things I just sometimes can get out of control, and I think we don't do ourselves a favor in terms of mental health and everything.
Oh yeah, or even in that movie, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but in Ready Player One, like at the end in the Utopia, like everyone's invited into the metaverse, but they shut it off on like Tuesdays and Thursdays so people can go out and like touch grass or whatever. So I'm excited to hear more about the other artists too. I know I don't want to take up too much time.
I think we probably can also chat with you another hour, but yeah, as you said, let's keep this basis in a certain time frame and move on to our next speaker. So how about Casper? Let's hear about your uncle's work.
Oh yeah, okay, thanks. Just to preface this a little bit, my uncle is, of course, I've mentioned on the tweets that he's turning 90 years old this year, which to me is it's mind blowing because I never expect to be able to have the experience of showing off someone's artwork who's like twice my age, right, or more than twice my age, and obviously because he's already so senior. When I spoke to him, it was only for a short while. He's a man of few words. But I definitely learned a lot from him about his process. Also putting together stuff from, he has quite a few publications, both online and offline. So yeah, I just hope that I do his work justice. His inspiration started pretty much from, Chinese brush paintings, and His personal story was that he started off in Malaysia, but then he went to Taiwan for university. And I guess that's where his passion for art really shone through, because he actually was there for a teaching degree, but he switched like somewhere halfway to a fine arts degree. And that's probably the kind of formal start to his artistic journey, right? And I guess the question behind this Genesis NFT collection would be the theme. And I've the privilege of actually seeing artwork outside of this collection, and I can say that it's definitely all related and pulled by a common thread of nature. Most of his pieces in this Genesis collection are like still life and landscapes, but I actually have a piece at home of birds, a goldfish. My parents also have a picture of him painting fish as well. So it's definitely nature that has inspired him. And he uses very different media from like what you guys mentioned, watercolors, acrylic. She does it on paper, on board. And I think what's really amazing is that a lot of these pieces that are shown now are only created a few years ago. So I don't know about you guys, but when I'm 80, I definitely don't see myself painting something and putting myself up there to be critiqued and worrying about whether my art actually sells, right? But he, in the past few years, is probably in his late 80s and still painting. And I guess that really shows his passion. And I really hope to be able to find something that I can do till my 80s and still be so proud of doing it on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, I think a lot of his pieces show not just his masterful technique, but also his influence from mainly the East, so that the Chinese brush paintings and the styles, but it's also spoken in his publications that he's also influenced by Western style. So he tries to mix both together, and I guess through my uneducated artistic eyes, I can see that some of his still life photos, still life art, does incorporate some sort of a Western element to it. So I think that's as much as I dare to share about his story, because I don't want to misrepresent anything. But from my personal story, just to share a little tidbit, I guess it's really cool how life kind of comes full circle, because I used to stay at his home when I was a kid. So Singapore, for those who are not that familiar, it's really close to Malaysia. It's like a half an hour flight, right? And we usually visit Malaysia pretty often because that's where my parents are from. And I would stay at my uncle's place as a kid, and I would see him painting. And of course, at that point in time, I never understood how great an artist he was, right? But I did see how many pieces he could create, and it's only now that I realized that meant that it probably was not just an artistic journey, but showed how effortless it could be once you're experienced enough to create such beautiful pieces. And it's just really amazing to be able to talk to him now and understand what he was doing in the past when I was staying with him. That was before the days of like visiting them and staying in hotels so that you don't disturb them. But that was my childhood growing up when I visited him in Malaysia. So yeah, I think it's just really cool, and actually this was kind of the inspiration of why I kind of wanted this exhibit, to kind of show this transition between the traditional world to now, right? Showcasing his work as a 90-year-old artist in the NFT space. I mean, whether it sells or not, to me it's actually already a win that we've managed to sort of transcend this divide between traditional media and digital. So yeah, I think I better stop here to take any questions if you guys have. Yeah,
so it's very interesting to hear you talk about your childhood or the time you spent as a child at his home. And have you actually, I mean, I was wondering whether this was like also what draws you to art, like being exposed in this artistic environment kind of. And because I was wondering, wow, what's the reason behind this, that you love art today? Despite not being an artist, I was wondering whether this basically had an influence on you. And what you said before, that despite his age, he is still very productive. And I think it just shows that if we just do what we love, then it's basically not work, and we can just create until our last moment in life. And I think this is how life is supposed, should be, basically.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question about the love for art, right? I guess for me, for those of you who don't know me, I'm quite a numbers driven, and I'm an engineer by training, so quite a structured guy. Art actually never really came that naturally to me, but as you know, in life, a lot of things come very subconsciously, and he could have been one of the early art inspirations for me. I mean, the fact that he gifted my family lots of his own art. I mean, I never really knew how valuable these art pieces were. As a child, right? You just go to his home, you see him painting, you're like, oh, that's cool. That's a nice picture of a fish. But I mean, when you're 10 or you're 12 and you're running around, these images soak into you, I guess. And I wouldn't rule it out that this subconsciously played on me as I developed my love for art throughout these years.
I think so. Yeah, I think remember that we talked in the past, and you told me that, that you worked in finance, and you would have never imagined that you would start in virtual gallery and feature in art. So I think it's. It probably has some inspiration on you. And so actually another question that I have is when I looked at your uncle's pieces is that he has this there. So the pieces that you have on OpenSea, there are like two styles. The one is this very this Asian brush ink style, and this other one is this very more color intense or more expressive style. And so you can definitely see also the way he portrayed still life, like flowers, you can definitely see the Western, more Western influence. And I was wondering whether the traditional or the ink style was basically created in an earlier phase in his life, or and the Western influence used, and I think it's probably an acrylic, right? These more color intense expressive work. And this was like in a later point in his life, or has these all these different styles been created like a similar time frame?
I think they're all created somewhat in a similar time frame. If you look at the artwork, you can actually see the dates that they were created. And if I don't remember wrongly, they're all created in the 2000s. So it's not something that was a huge shift. I guess he does try to vary his art a little bit, because he has many exhibitions primarily in Malaysia. So that's my understanding of his creations, that he just tried to have a very good blend of both Western and Eastern inspirations, even in recent years.
Yeah, you're right. I just look at it. It really says 2021. Okay. Yeah, interesting. Yep. Thank you.
But it's cool, right? It's cool that he's still painting at 88. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, totally. I think age should never be like a reason not to do anything, right? So this concept that like after people reach a certain age they should retire and it just like chill out in front of tea or whatever, but there is no reason for that. I mean, you can just create until old age and do what you love. And this is, I think, actually keep people alive.
By the way, could you ask your uncle what's his secret to get into this age? Because I would like to be also still active with 88 or 90 years now. So what is his secret? Is it a good meal, or is he always drinking wine at the evening? I want to know the secret.
Well, I can tell you for sure, as a kid, I never really enjoyed the meals that I had with them. I mean, the taste-wise, they ate very, very simple meals. And they always ate very healthily. Like, again, as a kid, you just want fried chicken, right? But they always eat very healthily. It's always just like rice and fish. And on top of that, I think, jokes aside, I really feel that doing something that you're passionate about really helps. And that, I mean, you can definitely see that if you're still doing it when you're 80, it probably contributes to the longevity of your spirit or soul. I'm probably not saying this right, but I can definitely sense from him that it definitely contributed to him being able to extend his longevity to what he's doing now.
That's so cool.
Was his diet full of vegetables? Is that why?
Yeah, I mean, I'm partly joking, but you know what? Where I'm coming from.
I'm heard that rice is so much more healthier than what we Germans eat all the day. So I should change my full lunch table.
Yeah, I could imagine that he probably also has, like you said before, that he's a man of few words. And so I think he probably also is some person who is like internally a very maybe calm person, and this definitely helps to lower stress. And as we all know, that stress can be a huge factor today to like promote certain diseases and everything. Okay, so if there aren't any other questions, let's move on to House Hoppe, which is a team of father and son and represented by Johannes today. And his father, Olaf, is a traditional painter and also very skilled in woodblock printing. And together with Johannes, he teamed up to bring basically his pieces to the digital world. So let's hear about more about this wonderful collaboration between Fal and San from Johannes.
Yes, thank you very much for giving me the chance to speak. And first of all, I was amazed that Kasper included me to the gallery, because on the one hand, the art itself is established and already very long, has a very long lifetime experience inside. But on the other hand, we are totally new because we just minted 4 pieces until now. So I would consider us in the NFT space as still a very, very young team. This is also interesting because my father is making art. He's painting one piece with acrylic on canvas for months. Everybody in the Discord knows that all the NFT artists are dropping pieces and pieces. And then my father, after 2 weeks, releases again one picture of the same image with a little progress. So this is a completely different world that I'm trying to bridge together. Yeah, so thank you for including, let's say, a newcomer team. But I felt very, I have very similar feelings with Kasper, because I have been grown up with art all my life. So it was literally me who destroyed the diploma piece of my father because I was a baby and crying and destroying stuff. And he wanted to finish his piece to get his diploma in art. So that's a secret I can share with you. It was very stressful when I was a baby and he had to make art for a living. But now my father is at the age, he's over 60 years. And all the pieces he has and that are online are all sold. So most of them. So in the traditional world, he definitely has an audience and he has a lot of collectors, which I also know because since childhood, they are coming back. It's sometimes not so clear, are these now friends already or are they collectors? But they have seen a lot of faces again and again over the time. And I would consider them as friends of the family. And so he has a traditional background, but my goal is it now to somehow make him a legacy in the digital world, because last year I had to experience that life can be very short or can end very soon. And that was also a reason why we started to work again after a long time of inactivity, because 10 or 15 years ago, we had a phase where we worked together. Last time, we had an online shop. We had you had the possibility to buy pieces on the online shop. They were framed and sent to you via postal services, which was very innovative and maybe too early in that time. So and then we decided to do our own things. I was starting my career in computer science and he was still painting. Now I'm super happy that I joined again with him and that we are doing something again, because it brings us together as father and son. So right now, every Thursday, we are teaming on Zoom and working a little bit again on our digital pieces. So right now we have only minted 4 pieces, but we have a lot of pieces in the pipeline where we are getting help from other NFT artists and making these cool collabs. So stay tuned. Right now we have only 4 pieces and there will be more. Yeah, and if you ever want to see the full work my father has made over 40 years, just go to our website, because we have so much stuff where I'm not feeling comfortable with minting them. He said, okay, do what you want in the digital space. You know how to do it. And if you can make some new collectors, that would be great. But for me, it's super hard to mint all these images because I don't want to do it wrong. So if you see on the website, we have over 170 pieces. which I could mint, but Kaspar knows my struggle. I haven't minted since September because I don't want to screw it up. I can only mint it once. And yeah, so that's my plan. Somehow get into the position where collectors want to actively have the pieces also in the digital world. Because right now we are still young, but we are on our track. That's it.
So I guess I just wanted to jump in. Sorry, Yun. Yeah, that I think what Johannes described is really interesting to me. That maybe it's could be a German perfection thing, or is it just because Johannes is in the digital space that things seem to need to be perfect before it comes out, right? So
it's everything. It must be perfect. So my father is the complete opposite type of artist than the watercolor fraction. He's working with acrylic on canvas, so he's all the time painting over and over again. You have big layers of color on top of each other. Sometimes if you see from the side that he painted on one spot several times again and again, and it's going to be thicker on that position. So yes, my father is a totally perfectionist, completely. Everything must be perfect until it's released for him.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so acrylic on canvas is completely different. You can always try to fix it. It takes time, but you can fix it.
Yeah, totally amazing. I listened to one of the YouTube videos that you have filmed of the interview of Olaf, and I really loved that there's actually a deeper meaning behind these Genesis pieces, these four pieces, and like in FT terms, if you're talking about Genesis collection, it just means like this is the first collection that you basically launched on a certain platform. But this collection, the title is really Genesis, and when I listened to this YouTube video, I realized that he really wanted to bring the focus back to like the kind of origin of our existence, kind of, because the question was the reason why I created this is, well, maybe you can tell us a bit about it, is what is really important for humanity, and he talked about these four elements of life, like love, which is symbolized by the rose in the pieces, these four in this Genesis collection. Do you want to tell us something about? Because I really love the meaning, the deeper meaning behind these four wood block prints.
Yeah, thank you for picking this up. So yes, the title was Genesis, and my father has always struggled with his religion. That's for sure. So if you scroll down in the list of artworks, you will see a lot of early pieces from the 1990s, where he's figuring out the path of Jesus dying on the cross. And then he had a different phase around 2000, which was also an important time because, you know, a century shift. And he was coming back to the Genesis book in the Bible. So yes, there was a red rose symbolizing the love. Then the second piece was the blue sunflower. By the way, it's usually a yellow sunflower, but he changed it a little bit because sometimes you have a blue light on something and it looks differently. This is symbolizing the connection of all things, the cosmic thing which connects stuff. Then there's a yellow dandelion, now in the real color, which is symbolizing the sunlight, which is the power of all life. And last but not least, there's a gray seashell, symbolizing reincarnation. But there are also more pieces in this Genesis collection. So for him, it wasn't like the fifth element where you have water, fire. You have seen the movie, right? For him, he wanted to find other elements that are the foundation of the cosmos and yes, humanity. But funny enough, he and me struggled with religion all the time. So he had some more Christian pieces, but in the end, he left the church many years ago. But also me left the Catholic Church last year. For both of us, it's now that we are feeling even more connected to God like before, being not in the church. I don't want to start religious topics that much, but both of us struggled very often with, the religion we got from our parents and trying to figure out how it works. And we both realized, okay, the Catholic Church is not the church we want to be in, but we still love, believe in God. So my father nowadays is going to see God more in a very traditional way. He's into Nordic religions now, but also trying to make sense with other from other religions. So, for example, we had a lot of discussions about that the soul is going to come back again into a new human, and that we are have an infinite life. So this is, for example, his religion right now. I'm still not sure what I should believe and if there's a God, but yes, this Genesis piece was in a phase where we both were still in the Catholic Church, still 100% Christians. But nowadays, I would say we realized that this is not exactly the way we want to go. But the good thing about it, that the Genesis pieces are still valid for us. So there's still an origin of life.
Amazing. This is one of the reasons why I really love on these spaces where I really talk about the deeper meaning and the stories behind the artwork and the artist. So thank you for sharing this. I was actually about to ask when you mentioned that the religious element in his artwork, I was just about to ask whether you're religious too and whether this had an influence. And then you just mentioned that that you guys left the church many years ago. thank you so much.
We are both very religious and we left the church.
I would probably say that you are probably more spiritual, which isn't the same thing as religious, I believe. Because like to me, like religion is just more or less like very related to like the institution, like the church and everything. But to be like spiritual and it can be like completely independent of any institution. You can just believe in whatever you want, right?
I hope there's some kind of higher meaning and. And also my father, the last piece he made, if you ever look on YouTube, I don't want to spoiler too much, but he's also, we made a 5-piece series of 1 minute because we put it on Instagram in before, but I should make a final cut with all 5 minutes together at one video. That would make more sense. And then he also tried to figure out a meaning in life because yes, we both struggled 1 year very much. And this was also a reason why we started our NFT journey to have a new path, right?
Totally. So are there any questions? Because before we talked about that, we have to also take the time to disconnect from all the social media. And for some people, it's like for Zoe, it's... the Sunday is still like early, so she could still like enjoy the rest of her day. So I try to keep this shorter than usual. So are there any questions?
Yeah, so one thing I of course love to hear about is how these woodcuts are made, because that's different from the acrylic process, right? And quite a lot different.
Oh yes. So my father usually has two ways to make art. He's mainly focused on acrylic on canvas, but from time to time he wanted to have some more affordable pieces, and he searched for a way to make still real life art, so not printed art from a copy shop. And he was always pretty professional in doing woodcuts, but then he realized that he could maybe not just make one plate of wood and print it on a paper having a black white woodcut. That's usually what people do, or maybe add a second color on it, having one piece which is then red, for example, on this piece of paper, and then you have a two-colored woodcut. He tried to figure out if it's possible to add as many woodcut layers as you want to have on a piece of paper. He made a lot of experiments if this is possible and how it's possible. So, for example, he painted most of the pieces in before as acrylic on canvas, and then used computers in the early days, figuring out which color is inside this image, and then said, okay, I need a green plate, then you need a yellow plate, a red plate, and some more blue plates. If I put them all on each of other, it should look similar like my acrylic on canvas. Yeah, and then he started this journey by really doing, I think, 8 layers in the beginning, 6 layers, woodcuts on each other. I think one of the masterpieces are these roses. I think it's even 10 layers on top of each. And the trick was that he really made these plates of wood and put them in a letterpress printing machine. So this letterpress printing machine is 100 years old or so, and was in that former time used to make newspapers with movable letters. Really, in the old times, people did that, and he didn't edit letters inside the letterpress machine. Instead, he added his woodcuts plates. So that was so now he was on perfect position. Precision. He could align them millimeter exactly, and then the next woodcut exactly again as on the needed position. Then, yes, he printed all the layers on top of each other for this woodcut, which is something I haven't seen anywhere. I don't want to say that not anybody on the earth is also doing this, but both of us have never seen any artist in the world adding so many layers of woodcuts on each other. And in the end, a lot of people think that it's again painted. For example, I posted some weeks ago the one of his roses, and the people said, oh, I can really see the strokes of the pencil. And no, it's not a pencil, it's really a woodcut, and several layers on top of each other. But I can tell you the editions have 200 pieces, but I think he always starts with 400 or 500 pieces. And then if you make any error during the process, you can throw this piece away. So in the end, it was quite normal that only 200 pieces survived. And that was in his final edition. And I'm not sure if my father will ever do that again, because it's a very, 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 very time-consuming and frustrating process. He was always in a bad mood when something went totally wrong. So when I was a child, I was knowing, oh, it's printing on the letterpress machine. I shouldn't go into this room.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah, so the results look amazing. So Jan, I love that story. And also the number of editions, that's like signed woodcut editions then, I would assume.
Yeah. So if you really put pieces next to each other, you see very, very single little differences. So they are not all the same, because they were printed in physical world. And they are all hand signed and numbered by hand. So there's really a number, one of 200, two of 200, and the signature of the artist.
Yeah. And that goes back to the point you made about making something more affordable. That was one of the thoughts behind it.
Yeah, similar to the NFT space, right? Minting a little bit more.
Yes. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we can probably wrap this up. I had really a great chat. It was so fascinating to hear everyone's story. And thank you so much to Zoe, Jagnetic, Johannes, and Casper. And I think we probably really need to do this sometime soon again, because it's just so cool to just talk with everyone about like the stories and the deeper meaning behind the artwork and everyone's life, right? So are the final words from Casper before we close this episode?
No, nothing much else except thank you very much, June, for hosting this with such deep artistic insights. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much to our live listeners as well. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, I think I need other last final words from Johannes and Sylvie. I think Janadim might have dropped out. Yeah.
Please visit the gallery, right?
Yeah. Of course. Exactly. How could I forget that?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great Sunday or Monday.
Have a great Monday. Bye.
Bye. Bye.